Hey guys, welcome to the Mental Makeover Podcast. I'm Lauren Curtis. You've probably heard the phrase, the grass is always greener on the other side, but I believe it's greener where you water it. This podcast is here to provide you with meaningful advice from myself and others in order to give your little patch of grass the best chance to grow and flourish. Hello, thanks for tuning in. Today I am interviewing Carmen, aka the Skin Fairy. She has been treating my skin for the past 4 or 5 years now, which is kind of crazy to think. Carmen has been in the industry for 14 years. She is an authority in skin in my eyes and in many of your eyes too, because I had so many requests to feature her on the podcast. So I hope you guys enjoy the interview. So Carmen and I came into contact about 4.5 years ago now. I was getting my brows done by someone called Alex, and she, how did you know Alex?
My friend who does my eyebrows is friends with Alex.
Perth is a small place.
So yeah, Perth is small.
Everyone's connected somehow. And she was saying, was it Carmen wanted to?
Oh, I was like, I need to do Lauren's skin. Like, is Lauren seeing anyone? Yeah, and I had mentioned it to my brow lady. And she said, oh, my best friend does her. And I was like, what?
And at this point, I was like a makeup girl. I mean, I still am. I don't know the next thing about skincare. So I didn't have a skincare routine. I didn't like have certain products. I don't think I'd ever had a facial at that point.
Which actually has really made you a great client, because you always have always listened to me.
I'm a nerd.
Yes, you're a very A-type personality. Yeah. You need to know ingredients. How's it going to work? But you're very respectful. And you've always been such a good client.
Well, because I trust you and I know that you know a million times. Like, why would I go to you if I didn't trust what you had to say?
But even your first appointment, I remember. You were asking a lot of questions, but I think it's very nervous actually when you go see a therapist or anyone for that matter for the first time, because you have to build this relationship and it's actually all based around trust.
Yes.
So you don't know me. I don't know you. Are you going to listen to my professional opinion? Are you going to take on board X, Y, Z? So it has to start really with baby steps, because for me it's also, even now, you have to build that trust with someone, 100%. That rapport.
And I think I always found it very intimidating going into any kind of like salon or beauty thing, because I've never... Even when I like go into like David Jones, like a fancy section, I'm like, oh, I can't touch this. So it's like not having had that experience before, not knowing, like feeling insecure about, you know, I don't know about my skin. Like this isn't like something that I'm used to. I'm out of my comfort zone. Makeup's easy because I'm familiar with that.
Yeah.
But I didn't know if I'd be intimidated by you or the clinic or like little silly things like that. But from the get-go, you were always so welcoming. Your staff are, even now, you've got a bigger team. Everyone's so lovely. It feels like a family. It's just a different, you know how you can go into some places and you feel like the girls might talk about you when you leave or things like that? It's never been like that here. It's always so lovely.
Yeah, a Skin Fairy Clinic, we've especially cemented our reputation in the industry. We're very confidential. Mm. We're very, very strong base around looking after the client, and the client is our priority. But you could see any one of the girls and they'll look after you. But also as well, because you have a strong social media presence, it's probably very intimidating for you to go in anywhere.
That's true as well, actually. And speaking of which,
well, can we tell them the story?
I don't think anyone has actually done that for me. And I didn't ask for this.
Let's just put that before you. Just concerned.
We tell the story. So I contacted
you. You've never asked for anything.
No. Well, thank you, because you've always been so like, just been a great relationship. But anyway, when we first started talking, what did you put me like?
I was concerned about Lauren coming into the clinic. So I didn't want her to feel uncomfortable, because I feel like Perth is very small. And so I changed her name in the computer to Lauren Carmichael, because I just wanted the booking. I didn't want any of the team to like be aware that she was coming in, because she does have a strong social media presence. And I don't know, I had like a protection thing that I just wanted to make sure that she felt okay, because it is intimidating for any client to come in. So yeah, I was in the computer as Lauren Carmichael for a very long time. And I booked her after hours, actually. I did her after hours. So when she came to the clinic, no one else was there, so that she could actually enjoy and just feel comfortable.
And no,
I was really concerned with that.
I think I'm always concerned with that. Even my personal trainer now, like, she's so considerate about, I've never asked you, I've never asked her, but so considerate of the fact that not only am I like, I guess, paranoid and really, really shy and private about
this social media thing,
but I'm also just a shy person and like in general. Privacy in general. So to have someone
go out of their way to be considerate of that without me even asking. Like, I think that's also what made me realize, like, yeah, you get, like, I feel like I'm
protecting you all these years on.
No, 100%. We have a great relationship.
You've got to be careful. Like, you got to protect your clients and look after them. And skin is something that's very, very emotional and private. And yes. Everything is tailor-made to that person that you're seeing at the time, right down to your advice and all of your care that you have to give. But I get recognized as the skin fairy, which freaks me out. So I can't imagine how you feel. So I, from then, was like, no, we have to make sure that we look after you.
So I've spoken on social media about going off the pill, and I get so many people asking me, oh, should I go off the pill? Should I do this? Should I do that? And we're on the same page with that, which is, you know, you need to speak to your doctor first. I don't think there's any point talking about my skin leading up to that point because it's so...
You weren't treating your true skin.
Yeah, and that's personal to me. Like, you know, the pill thing now is actually relatable to everyone, whereas my skin back then wasn't. I didn't have cystic acne or anything like that.
I'd love to say to people, have the conversation with your doctor. How long have you been taking the pill? Why are you on that pill? Are you bleeding on your pill? Are you bleeding regularly? Are you just not getting your period but taking the pill for a year? So many clients come into us and we're like, just ask the simple question. You know, we're not medical doctors, but I can tell you that 90% of the clients that come into the clinic, they have got some pill-related skin issue, whether it be pigmentation, which is like melasma, or they've got cystic acne, you know, and they've got a copper IUD in, or they've got the pill. So our thing that we say to our clients, and I would encourage anyone out there, is ask the question, chat to your doctor. If you can go off the pill and you don't want to be on it, well, then that's great. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and tell people what to do, but ask the questions. If you're bleeding or if you're not bleeding, if you're not feeling good, then some people never even think to ask, and that's okay because they're not doing skin or they're not around it all the time. But ask the question, because it could be, you know, a matter of your skin being clear or your, you know, your life changing.
100%. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that also their mood, because they've been on the pill for so long, their mood's so flat, they think that's their standard default mood and their like attitude.
For sure.
And then I've got friends who went off the pill and they've been diagnosed with PCOS. Like, not that the pill, like, this isn't us, especially not us, like, saying, you know, you need to go off the pill. You need to just speak to your doctor.
I took the pill for 10 years.
Yeah, I took it for ages.
Yeah. And it's suppressed. It's a Band-Aid. It's like any medication, which, yes, some medications are life-changing. Some people need to go on the pill. That's no problem. But, you know, at 16 years of age, I wasn't having, you know, sex, but why did I go on the pill? Because my skin was a little bit bad.
Same.
I could have cut dairy. Yep. I could have gone down a holistic route. I don't know. And it's not that my mum did anything wrong. I just went on the pill like everyone. So
when you know better, you do better. And you didn't know back then.
Yeah. And look, I mean, to be honest, a lot of the parents, like you learn as you go, I guess. And my mum did her best, but I did not at 16 need to be going on the pill. But I took it for 10 years.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Some people, like, I was on the pill purely for my skin for most of my life. And I had no bad side effects. I did when I was younger. I changed pills and then had that problem again. And some people just can't go on it. Wreaks havoc with their with their hormones and their life in general. So as you just said, you've got to speak to your doctor. That is the first step in any kind of, if you're on the pill, you need to speak to your doctor before you make any change.
Your body is so clever. It tells you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And people don't listen to it, you know. And if you're not listening to something that's coming out or in which way you're feeling, it's going to come out in another way. Mm-hmm. So I just encourage everyone to ask the question. But I've taken the pill for 10 years myself. I've been on acne medication. I took antibiotics whilst I was on the pill. So, you know, maybe I could have looked at other options. So it's only until you're older, I guess, and learn your body and how you are as a person. But ask the question. That is the most powerful thing you can do. Ask questions.
So once you've made that decision, and if you have chosen to go off the pill, if that's right for you, and there's no risks involved. I was told, you'll have crazy breakouts. And then some people said, my skin was fine. And I think I got to about 6 months off the pill and my skin was fine. I was like, hell yeah, you know, I've made it. Like I escaped it. And then it wasn't until about that point. And it's like slowing down now. It still lingers, but it was a lot worse than it is now.
Yeah,
and that's like over a year ago now. So some people said it can take, like, how in your experience, is there like a usual time frame that people's skin calms down, or is it so many other factors that you can't really give it?
In my opinion, it takes usually a year, six months to a year. A lot of clients obviously different, their genetic backgrounds. It depends on so many different things, but again, you have to look at how long that someone's also been on some kind of contraception, because their hormones have been suppressed for that long, their body's then got to regulate back and learn itself again. Mm-hmm. So I would suggest that you need to leave your skin for about at least a year to 6 months, but it could take longer.
And I was getting to a point sometimes, and I was telling you, like, I don't know, should I just go back on it?
Like, yeah.
And
I was like, no. No. No, you will not, Lauren.
It wasn't even, like, compared to some of your, like, clients
who you felt terrible with.
Yeah, that's the thing. It was bad for me. It wasn't
skin
bad.
Skin is so emotional. Yes. You think about it. You talk about it. You touch it. You look mm-hmm. at it. You squeeze it. You pick it. Yeah. It's an obsession.
Yes.
And, like, I've been like that with my own skin, but people are suicidal over their skin, mm-hmm. you know. People don't go to school because of their skin. They feel like they get bullied because of their skin. It's just such an awful stigma to have acne or any kind of skin issues, whatever that may be. You know, some clients get hair, you know, really bad facial hair from the pill and contraception. But your skin is so emotional. It is a delicate subject, but you obsess about it. That is human 100%. Nature. Every single person's the same. If they say that they're okay, well, they're not, because when they come into my clinic and my treatment room, they're not okay about their skin. Whether you've got 1 or 100 on your face,
it's bad enough.
Of breakouts, if we're talking about that.
So, of course, if you are able to, it's always incredible to go and see someone like you. That's what's been so amazing for me. Even we've just changed my skincare routine recently.
Just recently.
And I was thinking yesterday, like, I use a lot of products in the morning, but I love the process. I get really excited to use it. And obviously, I've had great results with you for, almost 5 years now. But this particular little routine is particularly, I don't know, it just feels extra. Like, it's just getting the job done even more so than I guess I expected it to. But of course, a lot of people aren't able to come in. So
yeah.
A big question that came through was, if you can't afford it, or if that's something you want to work towards or save up for or whatever, what's something people can do at home that will help them clear their skin or give them the best chance to help clear their skin?
This is a question that I do get a lot of the time, and I can appreciate the fact that, skin is a luxury to have it treated, and I definitely don't take that for granted. I'm very aware of that in my position as well on social media. So there's a few tips that I always recommend. One is, if you can increase your water levels, that's always really, really important. Internally treating yourself is vital when you want to treat a skin condition. So again, I'm talking about acne because that's the most common. A really good probiotic, a really good zinc tablet. You can also incorporate essential fatty acids into your diet, whether that be tablet form. If you're vegan, you can take vegan. So something like your essential fatty acids, they help repair cell membranes. They're really, really anti-inflammatory. They're great for a lot of different things. Your zinc is your hair, skin, and nails. Really, really important. If you can and if you're able to, again, you can check these with your doctors, but these are quite simple things that you can do. And a probiotic is obviously above all, and this will be really good for your digestive system. So you really need to get good bacteria into your stomach. Whatever's going on internally is a mirror topically. Mm. So that's me going into it very simply. Skin is a holistic approach. I talk about this all the time. Water and taking internals are going to really, really help, as well as wear sunscreen.
Yeah, that's a big one, isn't it?
I said to Lauren the other day, protect your deck. Girls out there, even all the gorgeous guys, please, please protect your décolletage. So this is your chest area. Use sunscreen, because you could be wearing makeup, protecting your face, and then you forget about your poor little deck. And
your face stops at your boobs, doesn't it?
Yep, don't forget your décolletage, people. This is very, very important.
And that's actually jumping ahead. That's a question. That's like the number one. Somebody asked what's the number one mistake people make with their skin, and it's sunscreen.
Not wearing sunscreen.
100%. Not taking. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you potentially could have some underlying pigmentation there. Even if you've got acne, again, talking about acne, it does leave markings on the skin. You need to wear SPF. If you're living in Australia, especially, like, our UV is so high, there is so many people that have not been taught properly. And in Australian schools, it's no hat, no play. I mean, I'm in this industry, so I'm particularly anal about it. My arms, my chest, my full face. I mean, I don't sunscreen my legs because they're usually covered, but protect your skin, wear SPF, because melanomas are real.
Mm-hmm.
So one of my really good clients, Cherie, she has 3 daughters. She's a psychologist, so works inside. She's been my client for years. She had a little mark above her eyebrow. I've looked at her face for 9 years. So for me, I was like, what's this? It ended up being a melanoma. Wow. She had to have an upper like brow lift. Yeah, because it had to be cut out. They've had to move this up, the upper brow area. And she's a psychologist. She's wow. she's inside. Like wow. what? Like what? What's it doing here? No. But three kids, so obviously out in the sun and unaware, you know, and you could be prone to it. But she wears sunscreen every day, so.
And don't be a hero. I see people out there in the sun, sunbaking, and I don't use sunscreen. I use like cooking vegetables. That's really cool for you now. But like, good luck with that in the future. I get it. Like Reese, he tans to the maximum, but he's slathered in sunscreen. Mm-hmm.
And now, he would tan through that.
100%.
That's his, 100%. He's brown as a berry. Yeah. He's as brown as a berry. I've treated Reese a couple of times and he has got that beautiful, he's the genetically blessed tan skin. Yeah.
If we ever had kids, we better get his
skin. If you ever have children, we hope the blend goes through them. Too. But genetically blessed tan skin. Beautiful.
Do you also think, jumping back to the skin question, that diet does have a huge part to play?
Yes. I mean, in our industry, this has been like a huge, huge revelation over the last, I think, 5 years that, what you eat does directly affect your skin. So, I mean, if you're having a lot of dairy, if you're having a lot of gluten, so something like gluten, that's quite a touchy subject. If you're celiac or you have issues, it's going to affect 100%. You. Some people could eat bread till the cows come home, but sugar is, it causes inflammation. So one of the things I say to all of our clients, and if I'm treating someone new with acne, what do you have for breakfast? Are you having cereal? Are you having milk? Chances are people are not having an egg on toast, or they're not having a vegan omelet, or they're not having. So changing their breakfast is something that is so amazing, and it helps us with our clients' results because they're cutting something major like dairy or sugar out that, they were taught to have cereal by their parents.
So I remember actually a while ago, and I haven't forgotten this, you talked about one of your clients who ate. I'll let you tell a story. It's because it's actually really fascinating.
So I had a client who had cystic acne. It was blue. It was scarring. It was all over her face. She had persistent congestion. So like carpet congestion, like a lot under the skin. And we would go through what was she eating throughout the day? What was she doing throughout the day? And sometimes people don't always disclose these things until you've been seeing them for a long time. And she was diligent with her treatments, her home care. She was just an angel face client. She was actually studying law, so quite stressful. Acne can be caused by a lot of stress, amongst other things, but it was just getting really frustrating for us and her why she was not pushing through the barriers of her results. So one day I said, tell me from start to finish what you ate today, because she had come in the afternoon because she'd done her uni classes, and she started off with saying that she had had cheese on toast. And I was like, what kind of cheese? And she was eating brie cheese on toast just every day. That's just what she ate.
Wow.
I was like, I don't know how she's affording that as a uni student, but she was having her brie. She was, and I was like, this could be causing so much inflammation. Can we cut that? And can you just have normal toast? Which I think she still did because she felt like she needed to eat carbs through the day. No problem. Don't want you to faint at uni. She cut the cheese and her skin cleared.
And she hasn't been back.
We haven't seen her for a long time. She comes in for her products, but it was so cystic. I can't even tell you. But it was something so simple like that. And we do have a lot of aha moments like that. And there's a lots of moments that we have no luck. We don't know where else to go or what to do. We are not miracle workers, but in some cases, like this angel client, her damn cheese on her toast in the morning.
That was the problem.
It was so, and maybe the stress of uni because she seemed particularly healthy, but probably the high stress. But yeah, she had always had cheese.
Wow. Yeah. I still love that story because, and that's not to say that if you stop eating cheese, your skin will clear up.
No, like, it's so but for her, individual. It will be something. And sometimes it can be diet related. We actually had a gorgeous client who was a rep of another company and was secretly coming to see us. Yeah, she was gorgeous. Actually, she was lots of fun. And again, really consistent acne that just would not clear. And she ended up seeing a naturopath and a dietitian, I think, and it was something like mushrooms.
Wow.
She was allergic to mushrooms and she was having it every day. And she stopped doing it and her skin cleared. So sometimes it can be food related. And, there'll probably be a lot of people that would argue on that, but for doing skin 4 years now, it can literally be something like medication they're taking, their environment, a horrible boyfriend that they're mm-hmm. dating that they break up with and then their skin clears, a really stressful job. Yeah. Like it can be these things or like eating mushrooms or cheese for breakfast.
And you're not saying that that causes that and that causes that. You're saying no. in your actual experience,
yeah.
that has like this is anecdotal.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. And we honestly like stand out the front sometimes and like high five each other. And my team and I, when we do have these like aha moments or when clients will disclose something or, you know, people will have surgery and they'll have gone strong forms of antibiotics, but they won't tell us or they've had a miscarriage and you're just like, why is your skin like, what's going on? Or where's this pigment come from? Or, and then we kind of like breathe again because we do have a really high expectation to, yeah, clear and assist in someone's skin, but it's way more emotional than you think because you want results for your clients, but small things equal big things.
Yeah.
So taking it back basic will lead sometimes to the answer to your question.
Love that. Another question we got asked a lot is, can you shrink your pores? Completely jumping topics here.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh. This is, yeah. This is a very big DM question.
Mm.
If I had a dollar for every time. You can refine pores, but you can never, ever shrink them. If I knew how or if there was a way, I would do it and I'd be helping a lot of people. Yeah, I'd be helping a lot of people. I just think that it's something that needs to be very much treaded lightly. If you scrub your skin too much, if you rip it with a famous pore strip, it potentially could not get better. And, like, we've all been there. Like, I understand that we've tried and we do different things, but refining the pores, you can do with certain treatments, certain cosmeceuticals, but pores will never completely go away. We've got clients, again, when we're talking about the genetically blessed skin, you know, they're like porcelain.
Mm.
They still have little baby pores on their nose. Like
it's just like your anatomy.
It's your skin. I mean, if anyone claims to be able to completely get rid of pores, then I would love to hear from them.
So shrinking them, how would you even slightly shrink them? Is it like needling or something?
Well, we refine them with needling. So we find that a lot of scar revision that we do when we are needling over the skin, different AHA peels, they're really, really good for refining the pores. But again, nothing is going to completely get rid of them. And I will stand by that completely. I wish that we could, but the best results that I see is definitely through microneedling, just superficial microneedling. It works amazingly.
As you know, there are so many trends that come in and out of like fashion and you see them everywhere on social media, things like face masks and mainly pore strips. So they're always really satisfying to do. I feel like most people have done one. You can see what's come out of your skin. It's like, oh, this must really work.
Mm-hmm.
But you taught me to stay away.
For the record, I've never actually done them. Never.
Oh, wow.
No, hand over heart, never, ever. Look, we've all probably been there. I'm not saying that they're not satisfying, I guess, to watch. I'm all for the Dr. Pimple Popper and the nose strips. But when you're stripping your nose or the epidermis in that way and ripping or removing the oil in an aggressive manner like that, the skin will reproduce oil to protect itself. So they kind of can be a double-edged sword, in my opinion. I would never prescribe or recommend them to my clients. I'm really not a fan of them. I definitely think that they're very satisfying. I mean, it's human nature to pick.
Yeah.
So something like a pore strip is really exciting because you get to see it and, you know, I get the mentality behind it. It's not something I would professionally recommend.
No.
Yeah. But I see them and I'm like, oh Lord, here we go again.
Very nicely said.
I'm like, if you do that, Lauren, I'm going to smack you.
I'll never see.
Or I'll, I don't know what.
Somehow. There's also another one that people ask a lot, which is pimples and picking pimples. I feel like, look, it is human nature. As you just said, see a pimple on your face,
you want to get it.
Yeah, because it can go two ways. You can squeeze it and you can get rid of it and then you don't have the pimple anymore. It might have a little scar. Or you squeeze it and it's 10 times worse. Normally, it usually goes 10 times worse.
Mm.
But what's your approach?
I mean, again, like I said, it is human nature to pick. I love how our clients, especially in the clinic, are very, very honest. And I'm like, I get it. I know what it's like if I get a pimple now. I'm like, oh my gosh, I just want to get it. Not everyone has the luxury to go into a clinic and get them extracted, which some people don't even believe in extraction. So that's a whole other ball game. If you're extracting your skin or you want to pick a pimple, I always say after you've had a shower and you've, you know, cleansed your skin or your skin is a little bit supple, you can get little cotton tips. And if you're going to squeeze them, do them with clean cotton tips, not your fingers. Yeah. Not your fingernails.
That's what you're telling me.
Yeah, but look,
why not your fingernails?
Why not your fingernails? Because you can spread bacteria.
Oh, and does it cause scarring?
You can actually cause a lot of marking or bruising on the skin. Anyone could say that with cotton tips as well. Gently squeeze with cotton tips if you really have to. If you've got antibacterial wipes, they're going to be great. But if it's like a hot date coming up and you've got a yellow head, I'm not going to sit here as a skin fairy and say leave that on your face, because girlfriends and boyfriends, I would be getting it. But do it in the right manner. And if you can do it as hygienically as possible. But fingernails, yes, are going to spread bacteria. Try and be as hygienic as possible about it.
And I like what you say about extracting, because obviously you just said that some clinics are against it.
Yes.
But you have this like of a mentality where you respect the skin. I love that. People don't really, as long as you, I guess, yeah, it's respecting. It's not like hacking and picking and forcing something.
No.
I also have to mention that, because even still, I was like,
you find extractions painful, but you're like, oh no, you get it. So what I do with Lauren is when she comes in, if there's something there, so once she's gone off the pill, we've obviously had to go through stages where she's had extractions. If there's something that's quite angry on her face, I definitely do not touch an active pustule that's just, she's obviously squeezed or that it just can't take anymore. But she, in a very nice way, is just like, oh, that really hurts. Oh, no. And, you know, and I'm doing it very gently, but it's never nice to have your skin extracted. But it's funny extracting you because you're very polite about it.
I'm like dying inside. Oh no, it's okay.
But then after, once we exfoliate and do our treatments, they dry up.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if you are really absolutely desperate to pop something, what I've done is I've actually gone online, I think it's, I don't know, Chemist Warehouse, one of those places, and just bought alcohol little swabs. You can get like a pack of like thousands or hundreds of them. And I just dab that after I've done it so that it disinfects or whatever the area. And obviously, I'm not saying everyone should go out and do that, but
anyone can.
It's the reality. People are going to do it.
Like yes, if you're going to do it,
be smart about it.
Yeah, because it can spread bacteria and get worse. But you can do little things like that. That would be great. That's like a skin fairy's dream to hear that.
What's a question you get asked a lot?
I've had people ask me on social media, especially if there's something that isn't in the clinic, and I would suggest the Origins clay mask. I really like that. I've got no affiliation with the company, but I just feel like the ingredients are really amazing and it's non-drying on the skin and it really is good for drawing out impurities and it's not going to break the bank. So something like a clay mask, it can be really underrated. And I always try to think of if people can't come into the clinic, because again, no, not everyone can. So if you could find a great clay mask, that would be amazing. But obviously what we sell in clinic is what I prescribe to my clients. But yeah, it's not one size fits all. So I was recently in Byron Bay and I was at an ice cream shop getting some ice cream. And this gorgeous girl behind the front desk said to me, "Are you the skin fairy?" And I said, "Yes, I am. And I'm getting ice cream from you." And she was so cute. And she just said that she was suffering with, you know, skin issues for a long time and that she had gone out and spent $1,000 on products and that she couldn't sustain that. And it was so expensive for her. And like, did I have any tips? And that's when I led into the, are you taking a probiotic? Could you increase zinc into your diet? Are you taking any essential fatty acids? Increase your water intake. You know, what are you having for breakfast? So I stood there with her for a good 10 minutes because I understand that not everyone can come into the clinic, but I feel like I gave some kind of simple advice to her. And that's what I would say in clinic as well. And yeah, it was, I understand and see this a lot. People, they go out, they spend all this money, it doesn't work. And again, my encouraging words are always, go back to simple steps and incorporate them into your lifestyle and diet and see how they go. I mean, I don't know if she was eating ice cream all the time. She was such a gorgeous girl, but I could see it was visible on her cheeks and it was quite inflamed. And as we walked away, because my husband was standing there with me, he was just like, wow, that was so nice. Aww. I think you really helped her. And I was like, really? Like, I don't know, because I wasn't watching myself, but he was like, that was so nice what you did for her. And I was like, I hope she listens to me. But if she's listening, yeah, it was really nice cappuccino ice cream. I was just so shy. I was like, of course I'm getting ice cream and someone's asking me if I'm the skin fairy. I'm like, no, I'm not.
No, I'm not.
But yeah, I said that to her. She was a cutie.
I don't know. I probably asked you this before. I think we have spoken about it a while ago. Eye creams.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, because I feel like, oh my gosh, I need these. I see everyone using them. And like, you purposely haven't prescribed me one.
Yeah.
For reasons you've already spoken to me about. But like,
because the serums that you're using are already high concentrates that you can use all over your eyes and your lips. But I feel like eye creams are very buzzwordy. If you're using really good serums, like an amazing vitamin C or an amazing immune boosting serum or whatever it is that you're using, like take it over your eyes if it's okay.
Mm.
The eye area is very delicate. Mm. It ages very quickly, but the serums and what we've prescribed to you, you can use all over.
Amazing. Yeah. Another question is it guaranteed that my acne scarring will go with skin needling?
Nothing is guaranteed. Nothing. I'd love to say that there is. You could have 12 needling sessions and your skin be cleared. You could have 3 and it could be cleared. I would love to say that, but we definitely stand by being totally authentic to our clients, and you can refine something, but there's no guarantee that it could ever go completely. I wish that we could say that.
Yeah.
And in some cases it does.
I guess a lot of people, this isn't a question, but it's something that I thought of myself. A lot of people with oily skin would assume they like to use things that strip their skin because it makes logical sense if you're very oily to remove the oil. But what would your approach be if you had really oily skin and you want to like settle it a bit?
You want to introduce like exfoliation by masking or like a light. I don't necessarily prescribe scrubs to people, but I would say that masking or making sure that you're using a really good cleanser, because the oil on your skin, it can really vary throughout the day. You could be really oily in the morning and dry in the afternoon. So it would go back to your products that you're using. You could possibly tweak them. And then it can also just be genetically really oily. Mm. So you could be round and round and round doing all these different things with no real
improvement. Another question is how to treat redness.
It depends if you've got broken capillaries or you just generally have that ruddy appearance. If it's going to be your genetic predisposition to be slightly pink, that means you may be a little bit fair. So again, making sure you're wearing sunscreen. Mm-hmm. I'll always go back to sunscreen. Now, some clients have rosacea and they've got like acne, rosacea, so broken capillaries. And this can be a condition that, you know, we could talk about for hours really, but rosacea or ruddy, it depends. It depends what you're talking about in the sense of it being red. But if we go back to the simpler form, make sure you're wearing sunscreen. If it's rosacea, then you're going to have to treat internally and topically to treat something like that, because that's an actual skin condition.
Someone said, what is the best treatment to even skin tone for people with freckles? That's a pretty easy one for you, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we do light AHA peels. We do IPL treatments, so intense pulse light. I always encourage that clients keep their freckles, but some clients want them gone. So yes. You can talk about your story that happened with you.
Yeah.
When you publicly shared it. It was something that bothered you, but then you've come to terms with it.
Yeah.
I feel like you've been through an evolution though.
I have.
In 4.5 years, the evolution of Lauren has happened.
Maturity.
So.
Growing into myself and being more confident in myself. And
yeah.
Not feeling like I need to fix things.
Yeah. And not that you were like, oh, I need to get rid. You were just, yeah, you're wanting to do things that you're not like that now. No. So I obviously don't talk about you publicly, but there's been an evolution of Lauren definitely behind the scenes, but I feel like you've shared it publicly.
No, for sure. I mean, back then I was like, because I always used to wear, I mean, I should have known better, but I didn't wear sunscreen. I just didn't wear sunscreen. So I used to get freckles all the time on my shoulders, and I was always so insecure about it. And I spoke to you about it, and you're like, if you want to, you know, you can get rid of them.
Yeah, we did. basically in one session.
We did, all of them. And I mean, they're still pretty much all gone now. And I posted it, not thinking about how it could be taken. And a lot of people said, oh, you know.
Yeah, it was not taken well.
No, I've got freckles. So does that mean that I need to get rid of mine? Or like, are you telling people that you shouldn't, you know, be like, the freckles should be removed? And I was like, I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't realize that it could be taken this way. And now I would never post that because it does send that message. And I was obviously just naive and didn't really think about how it could be taken. But it's nice to hear that you wouldn't encourage someone.
I'm a freckle enthusiast. I think they're beautiful. Yeah. They're totally beautiful. But we also do what the clients want to some degree. I would never compromise a client's treatment by, you know, doing exactly what they want. Like, I do put my professional hat on and I'm like, yes or no. But if it's something simple that they do want to reduce their freckles, we definitely do IPL, and it can be easy. But the thing is with freckles, again, it's your genetic predisposition. You could have sun exposure and they can come back like that. So, you know, that's not to say that they're gone forever, but freckles are beautiful. But if you want them minimized and reduced, we definitely can do that, and really, really well.
Yeah.
But everyone usually wants to get rid of their freckles now. And I'm like, they look beautiful. Like, if your skin's healthy, it looks stunning. Yeah. But most people are like, they still need to, learn to love themselves a little bit more,
and
I think.
Sometimes, 100%, sometimes depending on the placement, it can make your makeup look muddy, and I think that's a reason why people don't like it as well.
Yes.
I know I had lots of freckles when I was really young, and they've kind of faded out now. But even so, I wear sunscreen more. Like, I'm actually wearing sunscreen before I wasn't. So, and that's what you said to me. You were like, these will go away now, but they'll come back.
Yeah,
they'll come back. You have to take care of your skin outside of the clinic.
And a lot of the clients, you know, will clear pigment, and sometimes it comes back and they're like, my freckles are back. And they're like, they're back again. But that is their skin. They've had sun exposure. They've been to, you know, they've been on a holiday and they've had that sun. So they do come up. But I always say this, you know, a freckle or pigmentation, it's typically like a scar on your skin. Mm. You can fade it to some degree, but it's always naturally there. So if we take photos of you on our UV, we'll still see that there's freckles there underneath the skin. But visibly, you can't see them as much because we have faded them. But, I mean, I get freckles when I go to Bali.
Do you remember when I messaged you and I was in the Maldives? Yeah. Like, my skin. Every single freckle I'd ever had just came back. To the surface. Yeah. And I was like, what the hell?
Yeah. Anyway, because you're in the sun and UV, but they can fade again. But the shoulder scenario, they still would be faded because you protect your skin, but you've come to terms with them now.
Little ones.
Yeah, but they're still not.
No, they're not like they were before.
Yeah. One of the questions that we've got here is it necessary to cleanse AM and PM? I feel that AM, my skin is still clean and supple. Do you cleanse your skin morning and night, Lauren?
Yes, because I have a shower in the morning.
She's just saying yes because I'm here.
No, it's true, I do, because in the shower, I have a shower in the morning and then I'll film or something and take my makeup off and then I'll wash my face after it.
Yeah, you should be cleansing morning and night. There is debris that goes on your skin during the day, makeup.
And sweat during the night as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yes, I would always say cleanse morning and night. If you're wearing makeup, you're going to have to cleanse a couple of times, but you should be cleaning and feeding your skin again before you're going to sleep. And you should be cleaning and feeding your skin in the morning. So if you're going to the gym, just say, I usually would just put sunscreen on. I don't cleanse my skin before. Mm-hmm. I just put sunscreen on. I'll go out. I'll come back, cleanse, serum, sunscreen, makeup. And remember that, guys, sunscreen, and then put your makeup over the top of that. My makeup also does have an SPF in it. If you could get a makeup that has an SPF in it and you're doubling up, amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Yes, some sun is good, but using an SPF as well as makeup, I would highly recommend. But then I would also cleanse my skin at night.
That's something I'll be honest about. I've become way more diligent with washing my face with not just like makeup wipes and micellar water. Now I barely ever, I always, always make sure that I'm washing my face with a cleanser since my skin has been breaking out.
Yes.
Now I don't take the risk. Like, I'm really anal about it now. Yeah, so
you just have to.
Yep.
It is recommended. If you're worried about how much products you're using, just use a pea size. Just less is more. But definitely cleanse morning and night. Even hair. Your hair produces oil throughout the day. You're touching your face. You're touching your phone. Think about how much you touch your phone. Do you ever anti-back your phone?
Mm.
I mean, I do.
I think it should too.
Yeah, because you're touching it. You're touching your hands. So, you know, a lot of bacteria is also in our mouth. So we're talking, we're touching our mouth, we're touching, bacteria everywhere. Which, yes, some bacteria is good. Some bacteria is good, but cleanse morning and night.
Oh, everything's covered in bacteria.
Can I just say that if you are treating or wanting to treat hormonal acne and you're not treating your internal, it's just going to be like shoveling snow in a snowstorm. You're going to get nowhere. You could spend thousands of dollars or zero amount of dollars on your skin and just start using a simple cleanser. But if you do not change your internal, whether it be increasing your vitamins that you take, changing your diet, going to your doctor and saying, am I low in iron? Am I low in XYZ? You're not going to get anywhere. So if you're wanting to treat it, you have to treat holistically.
Listen to your body.
Listen to your body.
Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Where can we find you?
Okay, so you can find us at @theskinfairy_ on Insta and also Skin Fairy Clinic. We've got two handles, so my personal one and then the clinic's one. And then we have our website, which is www.skinfairyclinic.com.au. So yeah, if anyone is suffering out there, especially in Perth, or you're not sure about your skin and you want to come and see us, we would love to help you. It's what we do all day long and we love it.
You can tell that you love it.
We do love it.
Why people just love coming here, because you can feel it in the air.
We do love it. Skin, skin, skin.